The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Good morning, David Doval.
Good morning.
What's going on,
I don't smell like a biscuit, do I?
I don't know, man. I'm ready. You guys eat biscuits in there. I've got coffee, but no biscuits.
Sorry,
but I'm looking
I didn't mean to rub that in.
No, it's okay. I'm looking at this thing that Rebecca made that is, I think, cookie dough and croissants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like calling my name. Mm-hmm. Eat me. Maybe later.
Yeah.
But all good. Let's talk home improvement because Julia Childs is not with us this morning.
Mm-hmm. But the guy that can widen the door is.
golly, I'm down a couple dress sizes. I don't want to mess with that.
I hear you. Good for you.
Yeah, let's see. Give us a call, though. This morning, we're going to talk about whatever's important to you, particularly with respect to home improvement. We are not good with giving, we could give any kind of nutrition guides. It's just, I don't particularly suspect you'd want to follow it. So call us at 704-570-1110 if you'd like to talk home improvement. I'm David. I picked an unusual product of the week this week. Unusual for us, but actually a cool one. I'm not going to say anything about it till it's our time to talk about that. But it's a great day for home improvement. The weather is breaking, and just like love is in the air, second only to love is pollen. Are you guys seeing all that happy?
I saw some. I actually the grill had. I fired the grill up last night to cook some hamburgers and. It had some pollen all on it. I was like, "Oh,
here we go. It's all good. We'll deal with it. I don't have anything on our list of stuff to talk about today dealing with pollen. But that's all right.
If you've got plenty of time to talk about that.
Yeah. I do have questions around new washing machines, interior doors, exterior doors, trim, types of trim, sump pumps. Let's see, all pests, six and eight legged kind, not the people who wander into your office and make annoying comments. That never happens to me. Water hammer. How can a water hammer? I guess it has to be ice. And then cracks in concrete. And I don't know. And I have literally three additional pages, maybe four pages of stuff if we run out of things to talk about. But there's a lot of stuff in home improvement. Any good, interesting, fun projects for you?
We moved to island this week over 12 inches.
Ooh.
People had been living with it for 4 or 5 years. Nice home, nice people. She said it was just driving her nuts. She said it was truly a one butt kitchen, and because of where the island was, and it was unbelievable what a difference it made. But you know, it was the normal thing. The reason they were hesitant to do this was because it was going to require a carpenter. It was going to require a plumber, electrician, flooring, all of that to move the island for 12 inches, you know. And I know people would think, oh, that's a lot of money to do that. But, you know, for you to be able to do that, right, that's what you got to do.
So that is a lot. When you said move an island, I was like, ooh, I shuddered a little bit because my thought, I don't know what the flooring is, but my first thought was, what do you got to do with the flooring?
Yeah, but it was glued down, and they knew what it was, and I had her order a case of flooring. They had a few pieces. She said, we have a few pieces, but it was random width. And so I said, we can't rely on what you have. I said, we're not going to have enough. So she had to order a case of flooring, and I think the flooring was only I forget what she said. But anyway, it cost just as much to ship it. So she said they were a little sticker shocked with that. But but it was heavy, and it is what it is. So, but it's almost finished, and everybody's happy.
Good job. Good job. Well, if I was going to have somebody do that in my world, it would have to be David Doble and his crew, because I think it could get botched pretty easily also.
Yeah, it could be a mess pretty quick for sure.
Yeah. Let's see what Jason's got here. Jason, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you gentlemen doing as well?
We are fine, thank you. How can we help?
Excellent. Yeah, I'm looking to do some work as well with flooring here very soon. And I want to take up some old hardwood floor that's glued down to a concrete slab and then put some new hardwood flooring down in its place. What are your thoughts on the best way to go about that near impossible challenge of getting that old hardwood flooring up off that slab?
Well, they actually make a blade for that for a demolition hammer. So you can rent, and I think you can rent all of that at Home Depot, and then they also have the walk behind, right,
walk
John?
Walk behind, yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit easier on the arms, the walk behind version, Jason, and it's got a kind of a wide blade. You have to get a saw or just about anything. You just got to get some opening in the first course so that you can get the blade underneath, a course of the wood. But the walk behind just vibrates back and forth and left and right. So it's kind of like oscillating, maybe is the right way to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just pops. It hits underneath the wood and it just pops it up. It breaks the bond between the wood and the concrete. It leaves a mess. You got to clean everything up. But it's way easier than
Doing it by hand for sure.
Yeah.
And then a quick trick that we learned through the years is get your circular saw and set it to just the depth of the floor and make yourself mini cuts across the length of the floor. So the length of the board, cut perpendicular to the length and shorten your pieces up a little bit, and it'll come up much easier. Because if you get started underneath a board that's 3 foot long or 4 foot long, it'll start popping it up there, but it's going to bind because it's still glued down to the right or to the left. So if you make multiple cuts, it'll start popping up in pieces.
Yeah, it applies all of your force to a much smaller piece.
Right.
That
sound like help?
I really appreciate that. Yeah, thank you. That's great because the whole bottom floor of the house is this hardwood. We're wanting to switch over to a different style, different type, different color.
Yes.
So my wife's been on me about one of those things to do, and I just keep going, oh my gosh, this is going to be
It comes up easy for you. My flooring guy was telling me a nightmare story he was dealing with this week, so. They do make those machines that have traction. So make sure you get the machine that won't spin. Evidently, it has its own drive. Is what it is, and I think it's like a track on the floor, so it'll grip and bite and push.
Versus balancing back at you.
Okay, well that sounds good. I really appreciate those tips, and hope you guys have a great weekend.
We will. Probably
Thank
better
you too,
than yours.
Jason. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Jason. Be safe.
All right. Jason's going to go pop up some hardwood flooring. Simple, easy peasy. And we're going to sneak off for a break. 704-570-1110. We'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You know, the conversation that we just had was Jason, right? It just reminds me just the tool rental solution, whether it's a Home Depot tool rental solution or just thinking in general tool rental solutions, just a lot of convenience in that, you know, Home Depot rental centers are traditionally easier to get to, and they've got an amazing batch of products in there. I forgot all the different things. I mean, I always look for a reason to buy a new tool. And for that reason, I don't like tool rental places because, you know, you'd be like, well, why are you buying it? You can just rent it. But there are some things like a floor scraper or sanders or concrete, you know, boring tools or concrete cutting devices. These are major game changers,
right?
And you can rent them, and the prices are, I mean, I'm always pleasantly surprised because I don't know, I get this cringe, oh, it's gonna cost a lot, and it's not bad at all, and it's way cheaper than buying it.
Well, and the great thing about the tool rental place at Home Depot is that the hours, the hours are extended. It's easier, you know, and you can get your supplies, you can get all your supplies, yeah. And you can get your equipment at the same place. So it's such a great idea that the other place is doing it.
All right, let's talk about fogged glass. The glass is foggy. I wiped it on the inside, still foggy. I wiped it on the outside, still foggy. Now what?
Mm-hmm. Call Mr. Glass, right?
Yeah. I actually had there's a Mr. Glass guy down here in Atlanta.
Oh, is there?
That I got a chance. Yeah, I got a chance to meet him on Thursday at a NARPM event. Super good guy. He and can't remember if it's he and his wife run the business, but really good. And always say, you know, just like I think about the tools being less expensive to rent than I anticipate, fixing fogged glass, which is fundamentally a broken seal in insulated glass, right? Mm-hmm. If you have single pane glass and you've wiped it on the outside and it's still dirty, and you wiped it on the inside and it's still dirty, get the local kid with a baseball and knock out the glass, because I don't know what's up with that. But if it's insulated glass, it's just a bad seal, and you got some condensation on the inside, right, that's just stuck there. And,
sure.
But you can replace that entire sealed unit in 99 out of 100 cases, correct?
Almost, yeah, you're exactly right. Almost always. And I mean, it comes with a price tag, but it's not as expensive as replacing an entire window. And I see it often. As a matter of fact, the townhouses that we used to live in, one of the guys on the Homeowners Association was telling me, he said, the next project is we're going to start replacing all the windows in the complex. You know, there's 180 units in there. And I said, well, we don't have any money. And he said, yeah, I know, we're going to have to assess. And I said, well, what's wrong with the windows? And he said, well, some of them are broken. The springs and things don't work. They don't open. And I said, well, all that can be replaced. He said, well, they're foggy too. He said, and I said, well, you can replace the glass, because this is the type of new construction window that you have to remove the siding to replace it. So I'm like, do we really want to get into that? And so I explained all that to him. I hope that he took it to heart. I mean, we moved, so I don't know what happened, but I can't imagine people getting a $15,000 or $20,000, $30,000 assessment. So would be sad.
No, that's
especially when you could just do it for, $5,000 or $6,000 a unit.
Yeah. It's not the folks who do that understand, for want of a better term, the anatomy of the window.
Yes.
And once you understand that, because they've done virtually all manufacturers, that once you understand that, it's kind of like when you're working on your car, which nuts and bolts to release or to remove.
Right.
To get at what you got to get at. I don't know, David, you're smart about these things, but when I'm working on the car, like, or mechanical things, I take out a dozen different fasteners and really only two needed to come out.
Right.
So because I was like, oh, that didn't do what I thought it was going to do. It must be this one. Right. So,
well, tricks of the trade.
So they know, right. They know how to do it.
You learn over time from doing it. And just so, and I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it again, that most of the time, if you have vinyl windows and they're in the frames are in pretty good shape, all the rest of the parts can be replaced on that window. You may have to search to find them, but they can be replaced. I've done many for people, and you spend a little time researching, and you have to go over and you have to take parts off. You have to measure. And you search and you check. And then sometimes I order sample parts and then go over to see if to make sure they fit, especially if you're having trouble finding something. And sometimes you retrofit. But it works, and it saves a lot of money. The case that I remember the most was the guy had a price for $42,000 to replace his windows, and he called me over there, and I said, well, all we have to do is replace this, and I think we ended up at $3,000 or $4,000 for the repairs, and then he called the glass company to replace the windows that were foggy, and he was a long way from $42,000, let me tell you. So
that's for sure.
Not that I wouldn't to have gotten my hands on that money, but I will just.
Nah, it doesn't make sense.
No, it's not right. Yep. So, but you know, the thing is if you, a lot of times if you bring someone over there that just does window replacement, then that's what they're going to offer you and you're not going to get that option. So look around, and there's some people around that specialize in just that. So just repairing.
It's the same. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said, oh, that was it.
Just they specialize. Yeah.
And just doing the repairs of the windows.
Yeah. When your only tool is a hammer, every problem begins to look like a nail, right?
Exactly.
And that's giving people the benefit of the doubt. So.
And I will qualify that if you have older wood windows and someone comes out, there's probably a pretty good chance that they found enough rot and disintegration on those windows over time that you probably do need to be looking at a full replacement. And then I guess while we're on the subject, I just want to add this because I see this often, John. It makes me sad. But the frames will be rotten. So what they'll do is they'll get a replacement window, which there's nothing wrong with that as long as the frames are in good shape. But if you have rot on the brick mold, if you have rot on the jams that are behind the tracks that the windows slide in, because they have to pull those out and look behind it, you see those when you replace the window. But if you, in a normal day, you're not going to see that unless you pop those loose. And if they're aluminum, you can't, because if you pop it loose at that time, it's if you know you're replacing the windows, it doesn't matter because it bends it. And then, of course, the window doesn't work properly. But the sills and the nosing, the part that are at the bottom of the windows, if those are rotten, that stuff needs to be replaced. You cannot just cover it up. And I see companies out there just bending aluminum and covering that all up. And then if you don't treat that with something or change it out, then it's going to continue to rot underneath the aluminum. So it doesn't just stop. I mean, it looks better.
Bigger problems.
it looks better with the aluminum over it, but when it all said and done in 10 years, there's going to be nothing left under the aluminum. It's just the aluminum in a window, and you wonder why it's a casement window because it's swinging instead of sliding
out.
Yeah.
So it's I guess critical. The really boiling that down is the right business partner to kind of make sure you do cover all the bases, no pun intended, right?
It is. And there's a lot of good guys out there that'll do a good job for you. So
absolutely. And then there was something else. It's a good segue to another conversation, but I know we're gonna be tight on a break here. So we're going to be tight on a break, so I'll wait till afterwards. But when you started talking about, trim and rot, I want to talk about kinds of trim to prevent that. And we'll be able to do that. Folks, it's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a little break. 704-570-1110 is the magic number. Give us a call. We'll talk when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're taking your calls at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about topics that are important to you. David, before we took our break, you were given good counsel on situations where someone is going out to replace a window, like a window unit, and they find rot either in the sill or in the trim or jam, whatever it is. And it's so easy to, with PVC coil stock or aluminum coil stock, to just kind of put Band-Aid on cancer and just cover that over. It looks nice, but the issue remains. You know, what lurks beneath still lurks beneath, right? And so your advice is right to get that squared away. But one of the questions that I had was about all the different types of trim that are available. So if you walk up and down the millwork or the trim aisle, I guess it's technically millwork, too, or considered millwork, but you have MDF, which is medium density fiberboard. You have poly, structural poly, so PVC trim. You've got wooden trim, as always, and the price tags are different depending on what you're looking at. So let's just talk for a second about which one you would use where.
Okay.
So for what you were talking about, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You have those options. So if I was going to cover and wrap it with aluminum, so if I just had to replace some components, say maybe one leg of brick mold beside a window or a door, or a piece of nosing or a sill, and it was going to be covered with wrapped with aluminum, PVC coated aluminum, then I would probably just choose the cheaper product to cover up. But if I was going to leave it exposed and it was going to get caulked and painted and be left in the environment, then it would be no hands down would be PVC. Every window or door that I order always has no rot jams, and it has PVC trim on the outside. If it's exposed to the outside, it costs a little bit more, but you're not going to have to deal with that ever again. That's the beauty.
Exactly. So, I think that, that made me think of one other scenario, but we'll go there in a second. So that would be the way to go. It's fundamentally impervious to nuclear attack and, certainly to the weather. And so it's good. Now, I think this is resolved. And so I might be going back to like, age brain, but when you look at products like brick mold, it just makes sense for that to be a PVC or you know, vinyl composite product. The question then becomes, well, I'm going to attach a storm door to the brick mold. Storm doors get applied in most scenarios by screwing the metal frame of the storm door into the brick mold. So no problem with wood. You know, wood holds a screw. What about the PVC solutions?
Well, I mean, you can have trouble with that, but at that point, I'm going to make sure if it is PVC, I'll leave it there, but I'm going to use longer screws, and try to get some screws back into the jamb of the door, because that's what the brick mold fastens to. And I'm also going to, underneath where the storm door track would cover the frame, I'll run a longer wood screw through it and fasten that brick mold to the jamb.
To the door. Okay, got it.
And that way the brick mold is fastened and you're not relying on the screws that are just in the brick mold. You're not relying on it. But if you could put a few screws back, like the top, middle, and bottom, back into the jamb through the door, then you're in good shape. It's going to hold. You're not going to have a problem with it. But if you just rely on a little 3/4-inch screw all the way around, if the wind catches that door, it is liable to rip it right out of that PVC.
Come right off the piece. Exactly. All right. So that's good advice. Let's see what we got here.
Real quick, wanted to mention this too. So if you have minor rot on a window and you're going to have your windows capped with PVC or PVC coated aluminum. In other words, they're taking sheet pieces of metal and they're bending it and forming it, and they fasten it and put it over top, and that creates a cap over top of your old trim. Nothing wrong with that. That's a great thing to do. If you do have a little bit of rot, you can use Cedar Shield. So if you spray the Cedar Shield in there on that rot, and you dig out the little bit of rot there is, and then you treat it with Cedar Shield, that will stop that rot. And it will stop it from taking on moisture, then you can feel comfortable enough to cover that up. So, but if it gets to a point where there's so much rot that there's no integrity left to the wood, it's lost its shape, then you have nothing to fasten your aluminum to. And at that point, you do have to replace.
Good advice.
So but you have to make that call in the field and and do the probe test, which is a screwdriver into the wood, see how far it'll go in there.
A rot detection probe, 16-penny nail, screwdriver, scratch all, something. All right, that music means we're going to take a break. 704-570-1110. We'll talk about home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110 is our number. Give us a call. Let's do our Home Depot product of the week. What a little creative on this one, David. And I personally think it's a good idea. And there's no pun intended, because my creative idea is from a manufacturer called Creative Cedar Designs. Wait for it. It's a Woodlands Complete wooden swing set. Wooden swing set. We're into playing, David. We've left all the serious stuff behind, and we're going to play. I like this one because it fits in a smaller backyard, but it still has all the cool things. So a swing set, slide, picnic table, rock climbing wall, trapeze bar, all the things that make your insurance agent shudder. It's really cool. And it's, like I said, it's kind of, it's compact, made of naturally rot resistant cedar, and it will install. So the big question is, like, the spouse is like, okay, honey, really cool, really love it. How long will this take? 6 to 12 hours. 6 hours for somebody that's pretty good with those kinds of things, and 12 hours for others.
Well, that's the guy that read the directions.
Well, yeah, my experience with those things, if you don't read directions, you end up like, oh, I knew that goes there, but it doesn't go there yet. Right. So anyway, that's the voice of experience also. So that's it. And David, you'll be happy to know it comes in under $100,000. No, it's only $900 and change, I think, for the whole set. So right. So not a bad deal. That's our Home Depot product of the week for this
Very
week.
Cool. And cedar, so it'll last. And and I know we had talked about this, about applying cedar shield to that.
Yes.
And of course,
yes,
you can wait, because it's naturally, it already has the oil in it. But after, 4, 5, 6 years, you may have to apply again, or, you could, it's not going to hurt it if you put it on there, after the first year, but you want it to dry out a little bit, and then,
right,
and then when it, then you would dampen it and then apply that cedar shield, and it'll draw it right in there. But yeah, very cool. And it looks nice, it looks nice in the yard.
Yeah. Yeah. My advice, I think there's some like different canopies and things like that. If you, in our climate, I don't know, you could be out there using it all the time. I would probably take some of the canopies off for the winter and bring them in, just it'll weather better. But that's my OCD issue, and you don't necessarily have to abide by that guidance. All right. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. We're talking about all manner of home improvement things. We want to make sure we're talking about what's good for y'all. But David, one of the things that I have on my list here is like the case – and we could probably do an entire show on things similar to this, but the door, interior door, actually an exterior door, is drooping, or to the point that it rubs as it closes, or it doesn't close, like it bangs on the jamb and it doesn't close all the way. What should we do with that? What are the likely challenges there?
Well, it's a couple of things. So it could be a screw that has loosened up on the top hinge, or the hinge itself, the knuckles have worn down.
Okay. So, you can tell that there's just a black powder, or like you can see, like, right?
You could do it. Well, when the door's in the open position, if you just kind of grab a hold of it and move it towards the hinge and see how much play you have, and you have to open the door so that you can look at the screws. But you'll be able to see if it's moving on the screw heads, or if it's not, if you don't see it moving there, then it's the knuckles of the hinges where the door lines up. The pins go through the knuckles, and those wear out. And it's just as simple as changing the hinges, and you don't have to take the entire door down. You can remove one hinge at a time. A lot of times what I do, John, is I'll open the door all the way up, and then I'll jam a wedge underneath the door, and then you just take the screws out of the hinge, replace that hinge then do them one at a time all the way down, and voila, you're in good shape. And also, you can buy bearing hinges that are not much more.
Right.
You have to order them. You're not going to. They're usually not stocked in the stores, but you can order them and replace those with a bearing hinge. That stops the squeaking that you get from your hinges. It stops the dust, the graphite you're talking about, the weather, the wearing
right.
down,
right.
And it just makes the door much tighter.
Perfect. We're going to take a call from Gail, and then there's a couple other follow-up questions that I want to talk to. Gail, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning. I have a getting ready for the summer, spring, summer, on my AC. My husband's passed away, and I need someone just to tell me. I've had two opinions and two different companies come out and check the AC and the heating every year. The first one said, wash the AC down. The second one says, oh, no, ma'am, don't do that. We don't do that. It makes more problems inside the unit. What do you suggest?
We talked about this last week, Gail, actually, with our partners from Charlotte Comfort Systems and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And they said it's okay to wash the outside unit down. But the trick is this. If you're going to spray water on it, you really need to lift the protector. There's a, first off, turn off all the power. And then there's a grate on top of the outside unit that's got some screws in it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to lift that off. And then you want to spray from the inside out. And that'll knock the debris out of the fins. You want to make sure you're not using a whole bunch of pressure. But because if you go from the outside in with a lot of water and a lot of pressure, you run the risk of putting moisture into places where it shouldn't go. Now, it's an outside unit, so it's used to getting rained on and so on. But that rain comes straight down, and the units are protected in that regard. What you might consider doing, unless you have a really difficult scenario, you might consider going out with a blower and blowing from the inside out, or using like a shop vac and just vacuuming. It's usually around the base of those fins that things get dirty, and clean it up that way. But the gentleman or woman who told you water can cause more problems than it solves is correct. If we go blowing with a pressure washer or a lot of water from the outside of the unit toward the inside.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That,
well, I did hear your program, but I had to leave, I think, right in the middle of it.
It's yeah. All right.
Thanks for that info, and I will use what I can do first with the blower and try to do my best. And
yeah.
Thanks so much, gentlemen, for all of your expertise. You're A1+.
Oh, thank
well,
you.
We that's all kind words, and we appreciate hearing them. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Gail. All right, Gail's off to – that's good. It's good maintenance to do that.
Yeah,
you just have to be careful, right?
You do, and we talked about that last week, as you said,
yep.
John. And I can tell you from experience, I mean, we have construction going on across the street. They're developing 88 acres into to a couple of schools, and we have just been covered with dust for months and months since last August. The units are covered in dust, and, you know, I rinse them off with lightly, but the last year when we had them serviced in May, the amount of cottonwood fiber that blew out of the one
yeah.
unit, you could have picked it up and knitted up a blanket with it. So the units do need to be washed depending on where they're at and your location and what's going on in your environment around you. So pay attention to that, because it does build up on the units, and they do need to be washed once in a while. And of course, if you're doing a regular maintenance on them, your guy will know. He'll be able to tell what's going on. They can even slide something in there in the fins and be
yeah.
able to tell. So
yeah,
yeah. So there are times that they really do need to be washed and clean. And looks like we're going to be in that arena for the next couple of years while they finish up these schools. So
yeah, that's a mess, but good to be on top of it.
Yes.
Well,
it cuts down the efficiency, right? So
it does.
Yeah.
In a major way, because that's where your heat transfer happens,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you reduce the places where heat can come off, then it doesn't cool fast enough. And then in the most serious scenarios, that means the refrigerant doesn't go from its liquid state back to its gas state. And so now you're pumping liquid through a condenser, and that's bad.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. So, and if you have a high efficiency unit, it relies on being clean. And so you really do need to do your maintenance. And I've learned all this since we went from the lower end units that we had at the townhouse where we lived to this higher end unit, and they operate at such high pressures. Anyway, you really do need to make sure that they're that someone's looking at them and making sure if they need to be clean, that they're getting clean. So don't skip that, because you're just wasting your money. You've wasted it if you don't take care of them. So
right. All right. Good guidance. Let's go back for one second to the conversation we were having about doors. I don't know that we talked as much maybe as we could or should about if the hinge appears to be in good order and you still have like the door sagging or bumping, putting a longer screw into one of the hinge holes and driving it all the way through so it passes through the jamb and hits the jack stud behind it. And typically that will draw the unit up enough that it'll clear.
Quit hitting, exactly.
And so I think that's something worth investigating. And then when you install an exterior door, so if you buy a pre-hung exterior door, it comes all up in the jamb, all nice. And then stapled to the side of the jamb is a package that has little devices that go on the bottom to keep water from getting in to make a final seal behind the weather strip. But also there'll be usually two, maybe three, like 2.5-inch, 3-inch long screws.
Mm-hmm.
And David, depending on the manufacturer, there will be one screw left out of each of the hinges.
Right.
And then the idea is those long screws, once you get the door square and plumb and doing everything you want it to do, those long screws are designed to go through the jamb into that jack stud. And that's both a security and a stability solution, right? So,
correct.
So that principle can also be used in an interior door to draw things back in line.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking in line, we should be in line with our clock. It's time to take a little break. We'll be back to answer home improvement questions at 704-570-1110 when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're going to jump right on the phones to talk to Joe. Good morning, Joe. How are you this morning? How can we help, Joe?
I have a 3-year-old Husqvarna roller tiller. Have had trouble with it since I bought it. So has my neighbor, two other neighbors. But we fixed it. But now it is seized up. The rope that you pull to start it, I cannot pull it. My son thinks it's tangled up, but I need some help.
Husqvarna is a pretty reputable brand. I am not super, super smart in all things mechanical like that. I will tell you, if you suspect it's tangled up, depending on the position of the pull rope, you may be able to remove the cage, look at the spool, and confirm that it's not tangled up. The challenge is there. It's a spring-mounted device, and my experience is if you don't know exactly how the pieces fit together, you start taking things apart, you move the spring, and now that's problematic. If I was in your shoes, I would find a Husqvarna dealer, and there's a lot of them. It's a pretty popular brand and well-respected name. I would find a Husqvarna dealer and take it in and let them mess with it. That's my personal opinion. David, I don't know. You might know that
Well, I mean, yeah, there's some things that it can be beyond just that rope. So, yeah, if you're not familiar with it, of course, I mean, there's videos out there. You can watch a video on how to take it apart. But I agree, John. I would take it in, and I do know how to work on some of that stuff. But a lot of times, I still take it and let them do it just because I don't have time.
And many times, Joe, I don't know what the warranty or age and so on is, but many times it's under warranty, or it's just a minimal service charge, or there's no service charge, and it's just parts if the parts have to be replaced. So I think you're dealing with a reputable brand there, Joe, and so they should be able to get you squared away without too much trouble.
Especially since you've had problems from the beginning. There may be something going on that they can remedy. So that you won't have any more problems.
Okay, last thing. The dealer that sold it to me for $800 said it would cost $700 to fix. I took it to another place, and they fixed it for $58. So I appreciate the advice, and we'll go on that video and see if that can help us.
Yeah, just put the model number in there and look it up. You should be able to find it, but... Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Joe.
Yeah, that's the problem with that, right, is trying to get it there a lot of times is the problem. If you don't have a trailer or whatever, that's true. The same with lawnmowers. That's why a lot of those guys will come and pick it up for you. So,
okay. Let's talk to Toby. Toby, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning? Toby, are you there?
Good. I have a leak in my irrigation system. And how's the best way to find a leak in an irrigation system?
What makes you think you have a leak, Toby?
Well, I was getting high water bills until I turned off the irrigation system.
Okay.
And then everything went back to normal.
Okay. I would call an irrigation person, and here's why. Frequently, you'll say, I've got a leak in the system. It's not a leak in the system at all. It's a faulty valve. And there's a valve that controls all the different zones. There's a valve for each zone, right? And if you know where the boxes are, you can lift the lid on the box. And sometimes with a faulty valve, there could be a leak in the box, and you'll see water pooling in the box. But otherwise, it's just the valve is not closing completely, so it's letting water down the line, but not enough water to actually pop a head up or do whatever. So sometimes you'll see water puddling around the head, which is at the lowest point. But I think I would have an irrigation person come out and test the valves before you you think that there's leaks somewhere in the line itself. I think the valve is more often the failure point than something in the actual plumbing lines. Although a rock or tree could do something, I can't eliminate that. But David, I'm thinking there is a way to manually open and close those valves. But I think I'd have a person that's familiar with it do the work for you.
Right.
David,
yeah.
What might I be forgetting?
No, that's probably what it is. And it could just be some mineral deposits or debris that got in there that's holding that solenoid open, that solenoid valve. So that's what they'll do is they'll open them up, they'll take them apart, clean them, and make sure that they're working. Because they could put the electricity to them and monitor them and see if they're working. But for no more than they cost, it's almost worth it just to replace
just to
them if it's
them
been
out.
In there
yeah.
for any length of time.
Now, if that doesn't work, is there a way to do it, like when plumbers find a leak within the ground with that type of equipment?
Possibly. They could possibly find it with an infrared camera. I'm not sure. I don't know if John Cantamella is listening. He usually is. I don't know if he's done that outside, but I think you would have to wait until the ground warms up a little bit more and maybe they could shoot it. But I know there's other things that they can do, but most of the time they're just going out and they're looking for soggy ground. Of course, you're going to have to turn the system back on and leave it on and suffer through a high water bill. To look for it that way, but it is possible you have a broken pipe underneath the ground, but it would only be with that one zone. And if the bill's high all the time, John's right. It's leaking continually. The water's bypassing the solenoid valve, which seems like that's probably what it is.
That's more often than not. That's going to be your challenge, Toby. I would start there.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You are so welcome. Thanks for the call. All right. We see John out there, but we got to take a break. So we're going to take a break. John, don't go away. We want to help you with your problem and your question, and we're going to do it all when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We're going to talk to John and John. John, don't go away. John, we're talking to you. John, tell us what's going on. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How can we help?
Hey, John. I'll give you a tip. HVAC, it's spring, and ants also like HVAC. They get into your contactors, and you'll have no air. And you'll hear a loud buzzing noise, and it's because ants seem to love the contactor for some reason. They also like GFIs. They'll get in there and start swarming, and you won't have any.
Oh, so they cause this? They cause it the contacts not to pull in.
Yeah, they get
dirt.
Yeah, they're like dirt. Yeah,
it's horrible. Yeah, so
I've seen it on a pool pump. It happened to our pool pump. Yes, sir. Good advice. This is John Cantamell, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how fortuitous that you called. I'll let you finish this comment, but we had another question for you.
Okay. So wells, anything with a contactor, bugs get in there and shut your stuff off,
right,
or short it out.
So yeah, here's a
wise
quick
to spray.
Yeah, a little quick tip. So the Ortho Home Defense around the unit is a great thing. If you don't want to spray any chemicals, which that chemical is very, very mild, but it does a great
very
job.
Very effective.
We've used it. John introduced me to that years ago, and it's been the best thing. Something a more natural a method is you could plant mint, which is a low-growing plant, will grow around. You could plant that on the outside. Now, what I believe in is that you put gravel around your air conditioner, around the pad, and you put up a guard where they make metal, plastic, whatever, to keep the gravel in. And then outside of that, if you plant mint, they won't go through there. The ants, they don't like it. Bugs do not like mint. It works pretty well.
But they'll start now, and if you walk around, you'll see the little ant lines starting to line up.
Yep.
And nobody's got. They don't know it because the air conditioning is only on sporadically.
Right.
But once it starts cranking up fully, I don't know why. I don't know why they do it. I don't know how many.
Get a jolt from my electrode. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
It's 4.1 gigawatts. I like that.
Right.
4.21 gigawatts. That's it. All right.
So anyway, that was it.
So quick. All right. Quick other question before we let you go and move over to John with a concrete splatter question. We were just talking about a gentleman who was trying to find a leak in an irrigation system. We strongly suspect that it's a valve. But his question was, well, if the valves are good and I've actually got a leak in the pipes, you know, headed from the valve to the head, we were talking about maybe finding that through infrared technology. Is that possible or is it too deep in the ground?
It's possible if the temperature's different enough.
Right.
As long as it's like 20 degree difference, you can. So when it's really hot outside, you could do it.
Right.
You could see it pretty easy.
That's kind of what we were telling them.
Yeah.
And of course you can tell which zone if you have a leaky pipe. A lot of times the ground is the soil's damp, but if you don't have water, you could turn the system on if it's leaking, and you could probably see that you're not feeding some of the heads as well. Or in the middle of the summer or late summer, you'll see brown, that the grass may be browner in other areas, which means you're not getting the same amount of water. So,
yeah, but this time of year, I've done this. I put hot water down the irrigation.
Right.
And hot water.
I was
going to
say you could run it. Run hot water in there.
Well, we've done it before, John, haven't we? So, changing the water heater.
Hey, shout out to Randy, my buddy at Train. He's going to be a grandfather.
Hey.
I got to tell him that.
Nice. Congratulations, Randy.
Anyway,
just
letting you
know. Thanks,
that
John.
Let people know. Start spraying.
All right. Thanks, John.
That's, David, that was one of the things farther down the list on some stuff for pests and even some pest contracts, maybe. Let's talk to John. Good morning, John. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Fine. Thank you. My daughter had some concrete work done around her house, and the guy's got some splatter. She's got hardy wood or hardy board siding. And do you have any ideas how she might get that splatter off of there?
Yeah. Usually a little dish soap and water and a plastic scraper will work. That's how I've done it in the past.
Tried gently power washing it, and it didn't do it good.
No, that won't take it off. You're better off to abrade the surface, John. It's the hardy. One of the beautiful things about the fiber cement product, it is the same through and through and through. So what's on the front of it, in the middle of it, and behind it is all the same product. Now you've got paint on the surface, right? So there's a challenge there if she can't match the paint and she abrades it to the point that the paint goes away. But you can take a plastic scraper out there, as David says, and some cleaner and knock it off. And if you had to take even mildly abrasive, like a sponge sander or something like that, to knock off the difficult parts, you're not going to harm the integrity of the board. You may have to touch up the paint, and she's probably trying to avoid touching up the paint also. But I think I would start with David's advice, and you're going to need to do something mechanical beyond just pressure washing, which you found out.
Yeah, the soap and the water really helps. It does just what John was saying. It helps keep you from abrading. It's just kind of the same thing if you get it on glass, when I've seen concrete splashed on glass on storm doors or low windows, because the concrete guy will always say, oh, you don't need to put up plastic. That's not going to it's not going to get on there. Like, just stop a minute. We're putting up plastic, okay? This is what we're doing. So you guys go take a break, get a smoke, whatever. We're putting up plastic.
Okay? Yep. Late, too late now.
Yeah, I know. It's always too late afterwards, right?
I think, John, you can tell your daughter that she can be a little bit more aggressive and not worry that if it was like an old hardboard or masonite, wood fiber product, we would be much more cautious in the advice that we gave. But the beautiful thing about fiber cement, or one of the nice things about fiber cement, is it's pretty tough and it's homogeneous, right? What's on the front is all the way through it. So you're not going to break a seal or cause damage.
We'll give it a try.
All right.
All right, John. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
You bet. Let's talk to Caroline. Good morning, Caroline. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I think my connection's bad. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
We can hear you just fine.
Okay, I can. Okay. I had a new wall outlet put in, the one with the light, because it kept popping on and off.
Okay, the GFI.
The electrician put in a new one. He said it was a better one. It worked fine for a while. I do use occasionally a little counter heater, but I've used it for 3 or 4 months with no problem. And now that outlet keeps popping in and out. Do I have a bigger problem or what?
No, I think, David, pulling that many amps consistently through a GFI that's rated, it's probably a 15-amp GFI, I'm guessing. Sometimes pulling a lot of amps through it can cause them to fail sooner. The only information I have to back that up, Caroline, is experience, where we've run consistently a heater or something that pulls a fair amount of current. It's not enough to trip it, but for some reason, the GFIs are sensitive. Yeah, they will fail more quickly. Ultimately, a GFI can fail, but if it causes it to fail because it's putting too much heat through there.
So here's part of the answer is to if you have someone back out, tell them you want to replace that GFI with a 20 amp GFI receptacle, because they do make a 15 amp and a 20 amp.
Okay, I'm going to call him back because he knows. Excuse me, he knows the problem, and I sure hope I don't get charged another service call. Shoot. Okay. All right. I'll do that because I have not tripped it because I was just afraid to hit that button again. I didn't know if anything was wrong with it.
Pr- Probably not, but I think you're doing the prudent thing with a callback. And okay. then you may choose to see if there's another outlet that you could run the heater in, and that might be that might save some headaches down the road as well.
Okay. All right.
Just
thank
don't
you
do
very
it with
much.
An extension
I love
cord.
Your program.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Caroline. We love your listening. All right, have a great day. All right. My little clock says it's time to take a break, so we're going to do that. You're with the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll slide out for a break and slide back in right after these important messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're going to do the family-friendly version of the Home Depot product of the week this week. Actually, I should be careful because that could sound like the others are not family-friendly. They are. Home improvement is traditionally family-friendly. But this week, it's the Creative Cedar Designs. That's the manufacturer. It's the Woodlands Complete Wooden Swing Set. Out in the backyard, it's time to think about what you're going to do. My personal opinion is get your kids outside playing. Don't let them look at the TV all the time. Don't let them look at devices. Have some fun. And this is a great way to do it. It's 100%, the wooden parts are all cedar. So it's rot resistant. It's got a slide, a rock wall, swings, picnic table. It fits in a small area. So it doesn't take up a huge footprint, and still it's got all kinds of activities for the kids. Let their imaginations run wild, and you won't have to run your mortgage banker wild to pay for it. It's under $1,000 for the product. And so that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week for this week.
Love it. Love it.
It's good stuff, Maynard. Okay, David, I want to back up to one thing real quick because I had this written down and we didn't talk about it. We were talking about adding the long screws in a hinge interior as well as exterior to draw the door, you know, pull the jamb up against the jack stud, and it typically will square up the door, and where you've had rubbing or problems closing, that gets resolved. What if the door won't stay open, like you open it up and then it just kind of swings partway closed or swings closed on you? What do you do then?
I think years ago you suggested a stuffed cat. You remember you got all those emails?
Oh yeah, it was great fun.
I said, here, you can answer these.
Yeah, it was good. I think I did. I'm like, what's your question? No,
I know.
No, it's good. My sister's like a crazy cat lover. Good things, but yeah, you know, it's need one more attitude in your life. So let's be kind to cats. And how do we fix it?
Well, a couple of things. So I've had this before. The other thing that I had was a door that had hinges that were spring loaded that would close on its own.
Right.
Okay. So when you needed that door to stay open, you either had to put a wedge or something, but they make a simple fix for something like this, but they make a magnetic door hold open. So it's a door mm-hmm. stop, but it's a magnet. You either could put the door stop that sticks out on the door, or you can put the magnet itself, but it's basically just a steel ball on the end of it. When you push the door open, it'll act as your door stop, but it'll also hold the door.
Hold it.
And it's, they're pretty cool, and it worked out well for that. And I've used those also for doors that I failed at being able to keep them from going closed, trying to do all sorts of things. So one of the things was to bend the hinge pin. So
I was going
to
say, if it doesn't close, hit it with the hammer harder. If it doesn't fit, hit it harder. From that file, there is the hinge pin solution.
Right.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So you can drive the hinge pin out, and you can lay it on a board or the concrete. Just have to be careful so you don't ding your concrete. But you're bending the hinge pin. Just ever so slightly.
Part, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to bend it a lot, just ever so slightly. And you'll know when you go to put the pin back in because it is, it's going to be tough to put back in. Now,
you have to hammer it from the top. Yeah.
You do. You have to drive it in a little bit, a little love tap. And the other thing is an indication that that can happen. Sometimes that happens. A door won't stay in the open position, like in a bedroom or a hallway or a closet, whatever. It won't stay in the open position because the door was installed out of plumb or out of level. So it's closing and swinging on its own, or possibly the floor is out of level. Could be that could be it as well. The other thing that can happen, John, as we already talked about, that is the knuckles of the hinges are wore out.
Right.
So you can, one of the things you can do is you can try to pinch those knuckles down. You have to pull the pin out, and you can pinch them down with a pair of vice grips or a pair of pliers. It's really a lot simpler just to replace the hinge. So again, open it, put the door in the open position, grab a hold of it, and see if there's any movement. Push it towards the hinge and pull on it back and forth. And if you have any play, the hinges are wore out. And a lot of times, if you just replace the hinge, you'll take care of that problem. So, but one thing about bending the hinge pin is that eventually that's going to wear, and your problem is going to resurface. It's going to come back.
And you're going to have
a lot of graphite.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of dust, right? Yeah, you can tell by the back of the door. That's another telltale sign that your hinges are getting wore out, is you'll see all of the black stuff on the door. It'll be right around the hinges, right below each hinge, and it'll be on the door and on the door frame. And then you know. And that is not the the answer is not more oil. Then it's an oily mess. So changing the hinges out, it's not that hard. It's pretty quick. It's easier if you have an electric screwdriver, a drill, to change the hinges out. But you can do it with a screwdriver. Those screws are only 3/4 inch long, and it gives you a good little workout with your wrist and your forearm.
Okay, there you go. Good advice. All right, we're going to take a break here, last break before we wrap it up. But so give us a call, 704-570-1110. I want to talk when we get back, David, about lubrication and choosing some things that are actually pretty cool for a couple pretty traditional problems that folks can run into. So if you've got some pretty traditional problems and it doesn't have to do with in-laws, give us a call, 704-570-1110, and we'll talk when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. We're in the lightning round. Give us a call. We want to talk about what's important to you before we go away for another whole week. Of course, you can listen to the podcast at WBT. Let's go right into a couple questions. David, you were talking about, don't just squirt, oil and stuff into a squeaky hinge or a hinge that's sticking, or you got the graphite. Let's talk about a couple things. Actually, one thing, but it'll apply to two scenarios. Number one, if you've got a squeaky hinge, pop the hinge pin out. My favorite product is dry lube, a dry lubricant. Mm-hmm. And David, I think you know this well. In fact, you may be the guy that turned me on to this originally. But you can use WD-40, great stuff. You can use, different like silicone sprays, great stuff. Dry lube, well, I think dry lube is actually the name of a product from manufactured by Blaster. And what it does is it's an aerosol that delivers a cloud, a film of Teflon. And so it's an alcohol based propellant. So it squirts out the liquid and that carries the Teflon out and then evaporates and leaves a film of Teflon on the surfaces being protected or you're mm-hmm. trying to prevent squeaking. Really great product. I had a difficult, piece on a miter saw and I couldn't get the clicks to release or to set correctly,
right?
And sprayed it in there. It's been good for 2 or 3 years. So that's good. It's good on the hinge pin solution we were talking about, but I wrote it down because someone had a question about my patio door is like super hard to open and close. One solution could be a dry lube product. And I think, by the way, WD-40 makes a product that is called dry lubricant. So not just the traditional WD-40, water displacement formula number 40 that we all know and love, but this actually delivers the dry lubricant Teflon propellant as well.
Also, I found this somewhere. It was stuff that was getting thrown away, and it was a grease stick. I don't know if you've ever, if you remember those.
It's a little, yes,
a little tube, and you push those. That really works well. But I've also used paste wax before, or wax, like a wax you use for furniture.
Yep.
You can actually put that on metal parts and hinges and things like that, and that does a pretty good job of quieting down without making a residue, leaving an oily mess.
Right.
It works pretty well. But that grease has solved some problems at our house, because I was getting ready to, and I'm still going to do it, but I'm going to order all new hinges for our doors, for the interior doors that all have bearings. And just change them all out. So, because they're all wearing, all the doors we use most often are wearing, the hinges are wearing.
So, and my guess is you probably, I can't remember. I mean, I know I've seen them, but you probably have panel doors in the house.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're a little bit heavier than a hollow core Luan door, or even a, you know, a hollow core, you know, stamped hardboard door. And mm-hmm. so they just weigh a little bit more. And so the hinges wear
right.
a little faster. All right. So one other thing while we're on the topic, because you can spray all manner of lubricants in the track for a patio door, and it can still be miserable to open it and close it. Then what might the problem be, David?
That's where the track is wore out on the very bottom. Remember, they're aluminum on your aluminum patio doors or the vinyl doors. You have that heavy piece of glass on two rollers that rolls back and forth. And if you use that door a lot, I know a lot of people that's how they access their backyard, or a deck, and it gets used a lot in the finer months of the year. It mushrooms, it basically wears that track out, is what it does. So, mm-hmm. Not to fret, you don't have to change the whole door. They make a track cap. It's made of stainless steel, and it's a saddle. If you look at it from the end, it's an upside down U, and it's closed up a little bit more on the bottom, but it snaps over the existing rail that is in that track. And then you put your patio door back in, and that's what the door glides on after that. And that will save you from having to replace, that door completely. And keep that track clean. Pretty important. And you'll see when it gets all black in there, right, John? You'll see all the graphite. Yep. That's the metal.
It's wearing it down.
It's all wore. That's what's left. That's the dust. So that's how you can really tell. But keep that track cleaned out. The dirt and the debris is another thing, because if you're running over that stuff all the time, that actually acts like
sandpaper,
like grit. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So and then the last thing, and this is the more complicated thing, and sometimes if, depending on the cost, you may rethink it. But there's two rollers that are inserted or integral mm-hmm. with the door, right? And so those rollers have ball bearings in them because they're designed to carry the weight. Over a period of time, the ball bearings can fail in the roller, or you can get flat spots. Well, it's usually because the ball bearing fails that you get the flat spots. But that's a little bit tougher. It's actually pretty easy in most cases to lift the patio door up and set it down and look at the bottom of the door. You can see how it's screwed into the bottom. Sometimes there's some screws from the side that are holding it in place. It's not hard to get that roller device out. What is hard is finding the right replacement.
Exactly.
Because every manufacturer, the people who manufacture the door do not manufacture that, right? They order it from somewhere. And over the course of 5 years, let's just pick a brand name, like, I don't know, we'll just call it Acme Patio Doors. Acme Patio Doors could purchase a roller device from, you know, ABC manufacturing, from DEF manufacturing, from who knows where manufacturing, all good stuff, but they order it, and that's what becomes their solution. So they're not always exactly the same, or you can't always tell the manufacturer based on the manufacturer
right.
of the door.
Right.
Right. So I know Home Depot has a bunch of those things, in the kind of the door repair section, but I feel like a monkey doing a math problem when I'm standing in front of those things, looking at the piece in my hand and looking at the card and things. Like, hard to make that call.
It's tough, and it is, and that's what we talked earlier about replacing window parts. You can spend a lot of time looking for those parts. But it's worth it if you have a lot of windows that have to be repaired. So the same with the patio door. The door's in relatively good shape, and it doesn't need to be. You can change that track cap and the rollers if need be, and save yourself some money. You just have to decide if it's worth the effort.
Right.
'Cause you may have to order a couple of sets of rollers to find out that maybe you ordered the wrong ones the first time, but you send them back and have to get the other ones. But you do have to take the door apart, and you have to pull that roller out in order to figure out what's in it. Most all the time. So
yeah, some of the better door manufacturers actually make it fairly easy to get that out. And then also they've thought through, they expect you to own that door for a long, long time. And so they are consistent with the devices that they use as, mm-hmm. as rollers and stuff like that. So anyway, that's it. So that when the patio door is difficult, those are all the things to consider, to make it a little bit easier. At the end of the day, it's a pound of, what does it say? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right?
There
and
you
so
go.
If you can keep that track clean, if you can lubricate it, routinely, and just do all the preventative things, you're making it easier or more likely that the door is going to last
right.
the time that you want
just
it to
don't
last.
Don't spray anything sticky in there because the dust will attract to it and it's done. And anybody that has property at the beach near the coast knows that those doors go pretty quick down there because the sand and the salt air, it's just there's no longevity to it. So it's usually not the best choice, for in those environments.
It is a hostile environment mm-hmm. for the products that we're talking about.
You want to do a real quick email?
I was going to say, yeah, because I've got like 20 things here, but they're going to take too long to get to. Go for it.
We'll do Jeff wrote in, and he was listening to our conversation with John about ants, and he wanted to know about ants and what product we were talking about. He said he likes the idea of putting the gravel surrounding your air conditioner and then the mint outside of the gravel to keep the ants away. But we also talk about Ortho Home Defense as a good method to keep those at bay. So check that stuff out. You spray it around the perimeter of your house. You could spray it inside, outside, and it works pretty well. And then I think you also like the granular triazicide, right, John?
I do. For where you got to get strengthier, that's also good. And if you had the pebbles around it, the gravel around it, it would work well in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Woo. There we go. Time to wrap it up for the week. We think that we always want to tell you that we think that the most important kind of home improvement you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week, and we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.